Hi everyone, Drew Prode here, host of the Broken Ring Podcast. Today is Big Idea Tuesday, sometimes Wednesday, and that means we're going to be talking about a thought, a distinction, a notion, an idea that can radically change your life for the better. And today, we're talking about a topic that I am super passionate about, which is friendship. Specifically, the topic is five things that people do that are hurting their friendships. I think if we had better friends, the world would be a better place. We already know, and I've done some episodes on this, the stats on loneliness out there are crazy. We are living in a world that is increasingly getting more lonely. And lonely is not about being alone. It doesn't mean that you're 65 years old and your kids have moved on and they have their own families and you're just by yourself sitting in your house and you don't have anybody to talk to. That could be loneliness, but loneliness is also a sense of you have some friends, you have some family, but you feel deeply either lack of understanding around your goals and visions around life, or you're missing out on true connection. So you feel that you feel alone. You feel emotionally alone. So with loneliness increasing and us missing and lacking deep connection, the question becomes, how can we step back into it? Well, I often start off with most of us, right? Most people still have a few, even if it's a couple, they still have a few friendships that even if they're feeling a little lonely, they still have a few friendships that are in a decent place. They may not be great, but they're in a decent place. So for those friendships that we have that are in a decent place, the question becomes, what can we do? What things can we leverage that allow us to turn those relationships from decent to fantastic? What are the foundational principles that we can bring into our friendships that allow us to turn them from okay, they're just okay, or lukewarm, to great? And again, what is great and how do we define great? Great is connection. Great is feeling like you have a friend that has your back. Great is you can go explore a new topic or read a new book or go on an adventure or travel and you feel like you have a kindred spirit or spirits that want to go on that journey with you. People say, Drew, why are you so passionate about friendships? I'm so freaking passionate about friendships because they make every area of my life better. First and foremost, there's this genuine sense inside of me, in addition to the family that I have, that because of the friends and the friendships that I've created, I don't feel alone. I feel a deep sense of belonging in the world. I feel a deep sense of knowing where my place is and having people who are counting on me and me counting on them to create a sense of interdependence. That's the first thing. The second thing is, it's fun. It's fun to have deep friendships and people who call in and check on you on your goals. It's fun to shoot the shit with friends and call them randomly throughout the day and not feel like you're bugging people or bothering them. When you have deep friendships, it makes every aspect of your life more enjoyable on all levels, especially when it comes to personal growth. Personal growth is so much more enjoyable when you have friends that are willing and down and open to go on that journey with you. You know, let's look at the book by Bronnie Ware, The Five Regrets of the Dying. Bronnie Ware, palliative care nurse, who spent time with many, many individuals that were on their deathbed in Australia. And through those experiences, ended up writing a book called Five Regrets of the Dying. And one of the top regrets, I've said it before, is I wish I kept in better touch and didn't let golden friendships go over the years. Think about that. You're on your deathbed. And you're thinking about, okay, I'm about to transition on. And maybe there's some fear that's there. Or maybe there's some regret that's there. And you're thinking about what you wish you did better in your life. And it's interesting that friendships is one of the top ones that people think about. Let's think about that for a second. Why is that? It's probably because so much of our sense in the world, meaning and purpose that we give to things relates to connection. Both are family and intimate relationships, our spouse, our partner, husband, wife, etc. But also, in addition to family, it's our friendships, because those are the soul connections that remind us what it really means to be a human being and why we are here. Okay, so now that we've gotten that out of the way of why friendships matter and why I'm so passionate about friendships, and I genuinely think that you'd be a happier person with stronger friendships in your life, let's jump right into five things that we often do that are hurting our friendships. So if we want to take those decent friendships, those lukewarm friendships, those okay friendships, and we want to make them great, we got to leverage these five areas that are often hurting them. Now, the thing is, you might not be doing these things. And by the way, this isn't just for you. It could be you recognizing these patterns that you have with a friend or a friendship in your life, and you might decide to address them or bring them up. So you might not be doing these things, or they might not be doing these things on purpose, but that doesn't mean they don't have implications. I'm going to cover these five things that people do regularly that hurt their friendships that they're not always aware of. And then my hope is, by talking about them, we'll become present to the patterns and decide if we want to take action or investigate. Here's the key. We want to investigate the root issue of why these patterns might be going on. That's the key. These patterns are often an indication of maybe a root issue that we can address. Number one, the first pattern that impacts our friendships for the worse is poor and unclear communication. So here's the thing. No one wakes up and says, "I think I'll be too busy for my friends today," or "I think I'm going to be wishy-washy with my plans and follow-up and communication with my friends." No, instead, what happens to most people, and this is what Bronnie Ware talks about in her book, what happens to most people is they get so caught up in their lives and their happenings that by default, they end up deprioritizing their friendships and taking them for granted. This often happens when somebody's in a new relationship. They're in a new relationship. It's natural. You're focused on that new partner, that boyfriend, that spouse, whatever it might be. You're in your own world. And then you can forget a little bit about the friendships. Not everybody does that, but sometimes that's an example of what could happen. So what's an example of this poor and unclear communication? So one example is telling a friend that you'll get back to them and then not following up, right? That's a simple example. So another example is keeping, and I think that a lot of young people probably default to this, keeping plans open all the time and then canceling at the last minute. Now, we're all guilty of this. We've all done this at some point in time, but when it becomes the norm, that's when it impacts our friendships. Yes, you're busy, I'm busy, everyone is busy. And if our patterns of poor communication become a regular thing, it starts to get pretty annoying to the friends around us who love and care about you and me. And the thing is, poor and unclear communication is less about being a bad friend and more about not being clear with what your priorities are in life. So sometimes people say, you know, "I'm always canceling on people because I'm just so busy, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy." And it's really not about that, right? If you feel overwhelmed all the time and are running around from one thing to the next, the biggest thing is that is going to reflect into your communication. So when we're not clear on our own priorities or we're being pulled in too many directions, that impacts our communication. Or if we're constantly feeling FOMO, which is interesting. I don't know if people are feeling, that's probably starting to just show up in the state of the world that we're in right now, pandemic-wise. If you're constantly feeling FOMO, so you say yes to things that you know you might have to cancel later, that's also an example of the need of getting clear on what really matters to you, getting clear on your priorities. So if that's you and you can relate to that, the key is slowing down. Slowing down and really asking yourself, do I really want to do this? Do I really want to take on this commitment? It's okay to say no to plans. In fact, for most friendships and relationships in our life, it's better to be clear and say that you won't be able to come or join or go to this next thing. But if anything changes, you'll let the friend know so that you're not pulled in multiple directions. It's also okay to tell a friend that you're busy and you won't be able to get back to them till later in the day. That's a much better response than no response. Again, we all do this. This is part of human beings' communication. We can't be perfect with all of our communication, nor should we. It's just the repetitive patterns that are there. And by the way, everything that helps you in your friendships helps you in your relationships too, like your spouse, your partner, your boyfriend, girlfriend, etc., etc. Everything here is something that will also make you a better friend to your partner. All right, number two. The number two thing that comes up regularly that impacts our friendships for the worse: complaining instead of opening up. Yes, our friends are there to hear us vent or work through ideas. But no, our friends are not there to hear us complain about everything all the time that happened to us in the week or the day. So the thing is, regularly complaining to your friends without some end goal of working through something or increasing your self-awareness is actually totally freaking selfish. You're basically word vomiting on them, and your complaining becomes the foundation of your relationship. And when that happens, it'll crowd out talking about new ideas or positive ways you could show up stronger in each other's life. So complaining is okay. We all do it. When it becomes the foundation, that becomes the challenge. And think right now, is there a friendship that you have in life that the foundation of your interaction with them is primarily complaining, whether it's coming from you or whether it's coming from them? What would it look like if, when times are good, right? Not maybe while somebody's in the middle of complaining, that you go to them and you say, hey, listen, I would love, you know, I want you to open up and I want you to vent, right? And I want to hear you out. And I, by the way, I've done this before to a friend. And if you just need somebody to listen to, I'm just going to listen. What I just don't want to do is I don't want to fuel into the complaining or the criticism that we're in. If you need me to listen, you need me there. If you need me to give a perspective, amazing. I just don't like when we get caught in this pattern, or I don't like when we're in a pattern where it's just about complaining. And also too, the thing is, I know you're better than that. We all need to vent. So feel free to vent for a little bit. You know, we have the first couple minutes if we need to vent and say, oh, this fucking person at work, or this happened or that happened or whatever. Okay, great. Now it's time to move on and be our higher self. Number three, sarcasm. So, okay, here's the thing about sarcasm. Sarcasm is funny on TV. It's hilarious on TV and in the movies. But in the real world, when sarcasm is the foundation of a friendship and it happens regularly, it truly harms our relationships. People who are regularly being sarcastic always end up going too far without realizing how their sarcasm makes their friends feel. There's always that moment where it's taken a little too far when it comes to sarcasm. It's okay to joke. It's okay to have fun. Again, this is about a foundational aspect of our relationship with another human being sarcastic. So in addition to that, sarcasm is often a disguise or a crutch for not being direct with people. You see this in relationships all the time. People use sarcasm as a fake, quote unquote, fake tool to express their fear or disappointment without getting to the root issue. So in a relationship, let's say the wife buys, you know, another 10 more books on Amazon about something that she's excited about. And the husband, you know, comes back from work or from his friends or hanging out and says, and you know, the wife says, hey babe, yeah, you know, just want you to know, like, you'll see this on the card or whatever. I've added to the budget. I bought like 10 more books. And the husband, who has his own issues that he hasn't expressed, says, oh wow, you bought another 10 more books. Yeah, I can't wait for you to read them, right? Like a demeaning attitude that's there basically saying like, okay, these are another 10 more books that you're not going to read. But instead of saying that and saying, hey, sweetie, I want you to buy books, and I so want to acknowledge you and appreciate you for your interest in learning, and you're always making yourself better, which I think is fantastic. I also want to add in, like, when you order the books and you don't read them and they kind of add up and maybe we didn't budget for them, whatever it is, there's a way to talk about it without using sarcasm. So if we see sarcasm regularly in our life, this is also for somebody who, if you're listening to this podcast and people are being sarcastic with you, know that sarcasm is often a disguise for something else. I'll say that the moments and situations where it can come up, and it can be fun, right? It's like if you're dating and you're being flirty, there's a flirty, sarcastic thing that can be a sarcastic banter that can bring people together, right? I'm talking more long-term friendships, long-term relationships. When you regularly see sarcasm, that's often a flag that something else is going on. And again, people who are good at sarcasm often end up going too far, whether they're talking to their friend or partner or in the context of other people, they go too far and that ends up hurting the relationship. All right, number four. Withholding or not expressing constructive feedback. So here's the thing. If a friend's upset you with their actions or left you feeling hurt or confused and you don't bring it up, what you'll end up doing is resenting them for their actions later on. You know, sometimes we think of fighting as a bad thing. We think, oh, I don't want to get into a fight with that person, or I don't want to get into a little, you know, scuffle or whatever else it is. I'm not talking physical fight. I'm talking about like a verbal fight. And I don't want to pick fights with people. That's not my goal, but I'm not afraid of a little bit of friction. I'm not okay if I was hurt by something to go to someone and say, hey, I just want to check in. You know, you said that thing the other day in the context of the group. It kind of left me, you know, feeling a little hurt. I just wanted to bring it up because I don't know if you know if, you know, that you said that or that you did that, right? Again, we want to use this method called a soft starter. If you don't know what that is, you could look it up. It's a method that Dr. John Gottman from the Gottman Institute came up with primarily for couples to improve their relationship through their communication. So soft starter is we give someone the benefit of the doubt. We don't put them on defense and we bring things up in a way with also acknowledging that we don't know the whole freaking truth. We don't know if they knew that they said that thing. We don't know without asking them. So again, if somebody, you're hanging out with friends, somebody says something, or you're hanging out with your partner and they say something and it upsets you in the context of other people. And you may come back or on the ride home and you might say, hey, sweetie, I know you may not have noticed this, right? Again, soft. We don't want to put people on defense. Byron Katie says defense is the first act of war. Think about that for a second. Defense is the first act of war. When you get defensive or you put people on defense, that's an indication that you're about to come in, guns blazing. You know, as soon as you put somebody on defense or as soon as you start to get defensive, that's when it's like, all right, we're going to go to battle. So instead, it's like, hey, look, I'm about to talk to you about something that's important, but I don't want to put you on defense. Hey, sweetie, I don't know if you, you know, I'm sure you didn't mean to do it, but when you said this other thing, you know, it hurt my feelings. Or you're talking with your friends. Hey, listen, you know, this is like the third time you've brought that story up. You know, that I kind of feel embarrassed when you bring that story up. It would mean the world to me if we like don't talk about it. Because when we do talk about it, it kind of makes me feel embarrassed and a little hurt or sad or whatever it is. And, you know, that doesn't feel really good. So when you consistently, this isn't about bringing up every little thing that somebody did, because then you're not going to have any friends, right? Well, okay, let me rephrase that. This isn't about bringing up every tiny thing, because what we actually want to do is, if you're someone that takes everything personally, a book that I would highly recommend is The Four Agreements. Sometimes people do things and they just don't know that they did them and they didn't mean them. Now, when you see a pattern, and this is all for you to decide, when you see a pattern of consistent behavior, you're like, okay, something is going on. This is not like a one-off thing where somebody's running late to like coffee, or that, you know, somebody said something one-off and it was just like a joke, you know. It's a pattern now. So there's something that's there and they may not be aware of it. That's often the case, right? Not everything has to mean something bigger. Your friend might be doing something that they're not aware of, or it could be that there's some underlying friction that's there between the relationship. So when we let our resentment build up and we don't address these things when they're a pattern, one off, fine, shrug it off, you let it go, you move on. Pattern, okay, something's up, let me address it, not just for the sake of them, but for the sake of you. Because when you resent somebody, it now starts to shape your behavior, You'll be short with them. You'll be less likely to want to hang out with them. There'll be so many things that resentment causes, and then your friend starts to feel, why are you pulling yourself away and why are you withdrawing from the friendship, when really the truth is you're just upset or hurt or sad by their behavior, but you never said anything. That's why withholding or not expressing constructive feedback damages friendships over the long haul. Okay, number five, our last one. Withholding or not expressing gratitude. So gratitude is the foundation of all relationships. When it's there, it becomes the rock that relationships on both sides can stand on to know their place and know their stance with each other. When you have it in your relationship with your partner, your spouse, your wife, your husband, when gratitude is regularly there, you're constantly spiraling upwards. You're building up and you're always improving the relationship. Now, the crazy thing is, you don't need negativity to ruin a relationship, although negativity can ruin a relationship. Even gratitude missing, so just the absence of gratitude, can slowly deteriorate a relationship or friendship. So when you don't tell people you're grateful for them, for small things, big things, whatever it is, you miss out on a huge opportunity for deeper connection. The thing is, gratitude is recognition. Gratitude is recognition. It's seeing your friend for all the effort and energy and love they put into your friendship and what it means to you. I'm so big on gratitude. I'll just randomly sometimes scroll through my phone in my list of friends, and I'll think about somebody that I haven't talked to in a while, and I'll just express a little gratitude for the times that we shared together. And you know, some of my deepest friendships, by the way, are not people that I see on a weekly basis, although I am very lucky that I do have a core group of friends here in Los Angeles that I get to see regularly. But then there's a few other friends that are out there that I don't get a chance to see on a weekly basis. And one of my favorite things is when I think about that person, I'll often just open up my phone and just say, hey man, I just want to say I'm grateful for you. And sometimes that's it. Or it could be more specific. Hey, I'm grateful for you, man. You know, I remember the time that we all went to Kenya together and, you know, you got me that coffee, you know, when you didn't even know me. I just appreciate that, right? So it could be anything. And, you know, it really just brings up this larger idea. And I think Tony Robbins has a great quote on this. He says, you know, in the absence of gratitude, the weeds will grow. In the absence of gratitude, the weeds will grow. So this goes back to this idea that it's not just gratitude that's important. When we have the absence of it, other stuff can happen. And what are the weeds? The weeds are negativity, comparison, complaining, and especially in friendships, apathy, where you just don't care about the person. You don't want to even put in the effort anymore, right? If you don't tell people how much they mean to you, how will they ever know, right? Just think about that. If you don't tell people how much they mean to you, your kids, your family, your cousins, if you don't tell them, your friends, if you don't tell them how much they mean to you, how will they ever know? It's powerful when we really, truly step into gratitude, especially in this day and age where things can become very divisive and people immediately take political stands on one side or another. And that divisiveness can end up ruining friendships. I think this is more important now than ever. You know, the thing is that there's going to be friends that you have that have a different view on politics, that have a different view on life, right? Especially in the current state of the racial pandemic that we're in, there's going to be people that have different ideas. Does that make the person a bad person? No. Now, I have no tolerance, you know, for deep bigotry and hatred in my life. If I notice that there's somebody in my world or universe that's expressing that, I'm going to distance myself from them, right? Especially if I'm not too close with them. If I'm really close with them, I'm going to address it directly. Like, hey, what's going on? You know, talk to me about this. And the thing is that a lot of our friendships in the middle, we're going to have different viewpoints than them. We're going to have different ideas of stuff. And by the way, even family, there's family that you have in your life that you have a different viewpoint about, ideas about racism, ideas about politics, ideas about health. And the thing is especially on social media where people tend to express their very extreme viewpoints, if our primary interaction is just on their extreme viewpoint and your you know, viewpoint, and those are butting heads, and there's no gratitude that's being expressed in between, then the problem is we see that person as the other. When we see that person as the other, we write them off in their head. How the hell can they believe this? This is crazy. This is stupid. Like, any reasonable person would not believe that. And by the way, they're saying the same thing about us. So tapping into gratitude. There's friends that I have in my life that have completely different viewpoints on stuff. They're good human beings. They don't express, you know, hatred. They're not outwardly putting out bigotry in their life, but there's some deep-seated different viewpoints that I have with them. And they're still a good human being. And the thing is, I can't, you know, cancel them as a friend. Actually, you could. And a lot of people do that in this day and age. They unfollow them on Facebook. They unfollow them on Instagram. They say, I'm going to cancel this friend. This person's stupid. You know, that really hasn't gotten me anywhere. Because I know with the content that I put out and who I am in the world, that that person, even if they see my content every so often, they're entitled to their opinion. If they see my content every so often, it's going to make them a better human being if they want to. I've had this many times. I've had friends reach out to me after years and say, you know what, man? I listened to that one podcast that you put out and it completely changed my view on this area or topic that I was very stuck in. So gratitude is so important, especially when we have people from all walks of life around us, that we can use gratitude as the bridge to connect us to the foundation of the human experience. We can let people know why we care about them if it's genuine, right? We only want to express genuine gratitude, and that gratitude can bring us together. Because the last item that I'll conclude on this number five, withholding or not expressing gratitude, when people trust you, they give you the benefit of the doubt. One way of connecting on a level of trust is expressing gratitude. When you tell somebody what you care about and how you are grateful for them, that instills a little bit of trust that's there. It's like, look, I'm safe. Then when people feel safe with you, they're a lot more willing to take criticisms. All right, so that's today's episode. Five things we're doing that are harming or hurting our relationships and friendships in our life and what we can do about them. So in conclusion, here's the thing. We've all messed up. Everybody messes up. But when that happens, we apologize and we move forward. Why? Because friendships matter. Why? Because they're core to the human experience, our sense of loneliness, our sense of meaning, our sense of purpose in life. It really relates to other people. We can't just do it all alone. So if you're somebody who feels a sense of disconnection, even if you have a ton of friends, even if you have a ton of friends, that was the crazy thing when I started looking into the research around loneliness, is that a lot of people who feel lonely actually have a lot of friends. It's just that the strength of those relationships is not deep. It doesn't make them feel like they're on solid ground, that they're with people who got their back. That's the key. Do you have friendships that you feel that have your back? No? Okay, you could do something about it. You can strengthen the ones that are in the middle by having their back. How do you do that? There's five things here. There's plenty others that we could talk about, but there's five things here that can help you do that. So if we mess up, we apologize and then we move forward. But if we're not present to the patterns that are often at the underlining root of these five things, you'll wake up one day wondering why your friends aren't willing to invest into you. The last thing I want for you, for me, for anyone, is to be on our deathbeds, like the book, The Five Regrets of the Dying, and feeling like we wish we would have kept better friendships. We wish we would have kept in better touch. We wish we would have invested in friendships in our life. That's no place to be. All right, this is Drew Prode here. Big Idea Tuesday/Wednesday. Sending you all the best. Talk to you soon.